Live from the Mills Fleet Farm Studio, back to the KQ Morning Show.
We are back, 9:01 now, minute after 9 o'clock. Chris D'Amino joins us. How are you doing, Chris?
I'm doing well, Tom. How about yourself?
Wonderful.
Fantastic.
It's going to be a beautiful day today, tomorrow. You know what I'm talking about.
I do.
Is Professor Doherty ready to go as well?
It looks like it, sir.
I sure am.
Professor, how are you?
Good, thank you.
This will be the first time I'm ever nice to a professor.
There you go.
No, that's not true. That's not true at all.
Second time.
Actually, that's very funny. Actually, John Lastman's father was a professor at the University of Minnesota, ear, nose, and throat. John, of course, went to see Guns N' Roses last night, so he's not here today because he's a typical stiff. But anyway, I ran across this story, Professor Doherty, and it fascinated me that somebody was clear thinking. How did it ever happen that you could think clearly?
Well, it must have been good luck. What can I say?
What started all of this for you? For me, we just talked about the fact that people are turning away from television because they're sick of all of the bickering and arguing. And yet, places like NPR are through the roof on the radio. So what is this all about? What in your mind, what is causing all these problems?
Well, we've had increasing division among people of different political persuasions over the last 30 years. You know, in 1960, only like 5% of people said they would not want their son or daughter to marry somebody of the other political party. Now it's up like to 30%.
Oh, God.
People are far more likely to say they wouldn't want somebody to marry somebody of the other political party than of another race.
Well, yeah, I absolutely believe that. Why do you think it is? Well, I understand that if people are watching television, television's trying to get ratings and they're trying to make more money, and therefore they'll just become more and more bombastic in their approach to reporting the news. But as Professor Doherty, I have said before, my mother was a Democrat, but she was not way over the top with the Democrats and Republicans back when I was a kid. They differed a little bit, but they could work together. There were centrists and everybody was kind of happy. But these far fringes now on the right and the left, what brought that on?
Yeah, you know, it's hard to know, but media is part of it. You know, we all can listen to our favorite media to get our favorite facts now. And our political leaders have gotten more divisive. I think, you know, gerrymandering in Congress has something to do with it.
Yep.
Most people in Congress have safe seats where they worry more about the extreme on their own side undercutting them than they worry about the other party.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just been a bunch of factors that have led people to not only disagree, but to see the other as poorly motivated, as stupid, as, you know, as almost enemies.
Yeah, no question about that. I find it really, really interesting. Do you think, and then I do want to talk about your effort and what you're doing, because I was very, very impressed with it. I think, for me, this is just for me, when senators and reps can basically do whatever they want with health care, they're not on Obamacare, when they can basically insider trade and it's not illegal, when they get paid after serving one day in the Senate or the House for the rest of their lives, those were huge mistakes. How did that ever happen?
Well, you know, people in power tend to favor people in power. And I think we've just outsourced too many of our, you know, decisions, our citizenship. You know, we go about our lives as consumers and worry about the newest iPhones, and we stopped paying attention to what our elected leaders were doing.
I think you're absolutely right about that. So what motivated you to finally, how many states have you been to now on the bus tour?
Well, we were in 8 or 9 states, 15 towns and cities in a bus tour that began on July 4th, and we're going to do another one in October.
Good.
With a group, partnering with a group called Better Angels. It's out of New York City. It's better-angels.org. And it all got started after the election, when we just saw this tremendous divisiveness in the country. People who just family members. I mean, I'm a family therapist, right? And I've never seen the kind of splits occurring in families over politics and elections. So we decided to do something about it. And the first step was really a colleague in Southwest Ohio, rural Ohio, which is mostly blue and, you know, some, you know, mostly red, excuse me, mostly Republican.
Mm-hmm.
He said he wanted to get the, he wanted to get 10 Hillary voters and 10 Trump voters for a weekend and see if they could have civil conversation, understand their differences, and see if there was common ground. And he asked me if I would facilitate it because I know how to do that kind of thing. So I flew to Ohio, South Lebanon, Ohio, and we spent a weekend together. And by George, people realized that they had more in common than they realized, that they were not enemies, and they decided, you know, let's start organizing something that isn't just so divided. And that was the beginning. We did another one in Ohio with a different group, and we filmed it for a documentary that's coming out next year. And then I was on, you mentioned National Public Radio, I was on NPR talking about this in March. And then what happened was, like, a flood of people from around the country contacted us saying, could you bring these, what we call depolarization dialogues, to our town?
Right.
We didn't ask them. And so we just got, my colleague David Blankenhorn, head of Better Angels, said, let's do a bus tour like a rock band. You know, I'd always wanted to be a rock star.
Never oh, happened. Here we go.
Hey, I'm a professor, you know. We raised a little money, and we got a bus, and we went around to these 15 towns and cities, from Ohio to New England to Virginia and Maryland and Philadelphia, doing sometimes like three-hour dialogue, sometimes a day-long, one weekend. And what we found was that people are hungry to get past this tremendous dissension. And by
great.
The way, this is not about everybody agreeing and doing kumbaya.
Mm-hmm.
It's about not demonizing each other.
That's all I asked for.
But here's the problem, and Tom, we've had this discussion. The zealots, the overzealous,
yeah.
The zealots on both ends of the spectrum are the same people. So I'm not believing that you got 20 of anything close to those people in a room and they agreed on anything after a weekend. You might have found reasonable supporters, and that's great. My question, big picture, is this. Is it time, can it be a time, this next go-round, the time after that, where somebody who is more in the middle, and by the way, doesn't declare themselves really as a Democrat or a Republican, isn't it ripe for that person to win the next election if what you believe, and if what you believe you saw in the small sample sizes, is actually factually accurate?
Well, you know, I don't know. I think we are bound to our party, so I think somebody will have to declare a party to win. But let me say that the people that came to these things, we didn't have hostile people for the most part. We had,
mm-hmm.
But we had some people who were tremendously loyal to Donald Trump and who hate Donald Trump. In one state, we had the former campaign manager for Donald Trump in our group. So we didn't just have the mushy middle folks. But I agree, we didn't have people who were tremendously hostile either.
Because those people are the same people. The screamers are the same exact people. They just say they fall in line with opposite parties.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. And the thing is, I'm not going after them. I mean, they're a lost cause at this point. But there's a lot of people that you and I are talking about who want to get past this hostility.
Well, you say mushy middle ground, but it just seems like there are too many people who are not capable of finding middle ground.
Yeah, so what I talk about is common ground. So so that's part of what happens, that people who differ politically, who don't then become, you know, they're a conservative, they're liberal, they're going to stay that way, that's fine with me. But they realize that there are some values that the other side holds in common with them. That's what I'm talking about. See, in Better Angels, we're not talking about everybody giving up being red or blue and becoming purple. I mean, if they want to, that's fine. But we do think there's possibility of working together on common ground.
Now, Professor, what is it really all about? What's the human psyche, the average American? It's not really about politics. What is it really about?
You know, it's some worldviews. I almost call this like interfaith dialogues.
Mm-hmm.
it's like over issues like the size of the government. So liberals have much more faith and trust that the federal government can bring about good social change and raise up the poor, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Conservatives have a deep distrust of the federal government for, you know, mucking things up and taking too much power. You know, that's a big split.
Yes.
But it doesn't have to get to the point where the liberals say that the small government conservatives are bigots and racists.
Right.
Right? That's what happens. So a conservative says, I don't think affirmative action is the way to go. And then a liberal says, then you're a racist, okay? Or vice versa. The liberal wants affirmative action, and the other says, you know, you don't believe in personal accomplishment. You just want to have handouts for everybody,
or
you're a snowflake, you know, because you don't like the language that I'm using. So you get these attacks going back and forth that we have to stop doing.
Do you think there's and I've always thought it's the mistrust of politicians, the headline grabbing, oh, look, there's another one. And I think the only thing that they agree on, both sides, is the fact that I don't trust a one of them. I just distrust yours a little bit more than I distrust mine.
Yeah, right. We heard that from a lot of people who they voted for Trump holding their nose because they really couldn't abide Hillary.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the questions we ask people, by the way, is, After, what do you like about your side and why is your side good for the country? We ask each side separately, what are your concerns or reservations about your own side? And people open up about that. And that really impresses the other group when somebody can say, you know, that Democrats often say, we've become elitist, we've lost touch with working class people,
mm-hmm.
people aren't politically correct, it gets obnoxious. And conservatives can say, you know, we can come across harsh and judgmental and like we don't care about poor people, and we voted for a guy who's got some character issues.
Well, there's no question about that, but they all do. I, one time, Professor, sat down and went backwards. The last president, trying to find the last president that I really admired, and I got to Washington and then ran out of people. I don't think any of them have ever been perfect, have they?
No, not perfect, but there are variations on it, and
no question,
they all have their upsides and downsides. And
yeah,
but the point of the Better Angels and the work, and by the way, I'm doing local work as well. We're going to be doing these red blue dialogues locally. This isn't just national, and for people to be able to take a breath and say, these people who voted for the other side are still my fellow citizens.
Mm-hmm. Okay, last one from me. I think I'm selling it short, but I've always said the 1,000 most qualified people will never run for the office of president. They'll never do it. The trash picking and what your family goes through, and quite honestly, you don't need it. You don't want it in your life. So let's just say, conservatively, the 1,000 most qualified people. Are we ever going to get to the point where people who really could maybe do this job the right way are going to look around and say, finally, there's the vitriol's died down enough, the hatred has died down enough, the trash-picking mentality has died down enough, where I would actually like to run for president of the United States?
I would love to see that day.
Yeah, I would as well. Professor, we have to stay in touch with you. I really admire what you're doing. I don't care what your politics are. It doesn't matter to me at all, because what you're doing, it goes across the board for me. And I was very impressed by reading the story. I'm very happy you responded when I asked Brittany to reach out to you. I'd like to stay in touch with you, because I think what you're doing is great work.
Well, I appreciate that. Anybody who says nice things to me like that, of course I'll stay in touch with you, right?
I don't like your shirt, though, even though I can't see you. Now, Professor, yes, please do stay in touch, because I hope this thing blows up huge and everybody finally understands it's not that big a deal. Relax.
Yeah. And then people can go to the website, better-angels.org, better-angels.org, and read about what we're up to.
We'll get it done. Thank you, Professor.
Take care. Bye-bye.
You too. University of Minnesota Professor Doherty. Just, it makes so much sense. Would you please stop hating someone just because of their viewpoint?
Tom, let me ask you.
It really begins with the dialogue, though. I mean,
you have to get
the two sides to talk to each other.
Do you think it's sustainable, though, when those people leave the room?
Not right now, I don't.
Yeah, me neither.
Maybe in the future. Leah Axelson's on the phone. Leah.
Yes, sir.
I've never liked you. No, just kidding. Leah Axelson of Walgreens in Minnetonka. I've been in your store many times.
Have you really?
Yes.
Wow, you've missed me.
Call within 10 minutes on the KQ payroll at $100 an hour. Just listen to KQ at Work qualifies for the drawing for the prizes, the bonuses, everything else as well. Leah, a great way to start your week. Thank you so much for your patience. Thanks for calling.
I am so thrilled. Thank you so much. And apparently I get to go see Gene Simmons. Thank you.
Oh, well, that's not all bad.
No, I'm super pumped. Yay.
Sounds great. Thank you, dear.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Leah Axelson, Walgreens in Minnetonka. don't know, can I call her dear anymore, or is that just offensive as hell? I've always called women dear. Women are dear to me. Yeah. Is that okay for women to be dear to me?
I think some people aren't crazy about that, but I do. I think it's complimentary.
Hey, I was raised by women. I love women. Butt out. You know what I mean? That makes sense. I want to talk to you again more about, we have to move on right now, but I do want to talk more about this. I think this guy, he's making an effort trying to get people to say, look, it's not anywhere near as bad as both of you think it is.
I think, you know, we've spent way too much time talking about what makes us different.
Yeah, I agree. How about the same? You know, that's all I'm asking. I have heard both sides of the issue. When they get too extreme on either side, I stop listening because you've lost your mind. And it's just too cultish for me on the far edges. It's just way too cultish. That you begin to kick people out of your parade because they're Jews.
You're the same people. It doesn't matter. I'm telling you, it's not a me versus you. You're the same people. If you ever got in a room and really figured out what you are, you're hate mongers.
Think all the way back to Archie Bunker getting the blood transfusion.
Right. No, it's very true. He was all nervous about it.
Yeah, because it was an African-American guy.
Exactly. It was unbelievable. Blondie on KQ.